Hi there! Welcome to this week's episode of REAP, where REAP stands for Read, Examine, Apply, Pray. My name's Ed Burdett, and I'm glad to be spending this time with you. As we get started, I wanted to say that REAP, as well as the daily readings at One Year Bible Podcast, is possible because of donations from listeners like you. We don't run ads, so all of our support comes from listeners who value what we do and want others to experience it as well. Every dollar donated lets us reach over 250 people with Bible resources. So if this podcast is valuable to you, or if you'd like to help spread the word across the world, would you join us in supporting this work? To donate, you can visit oneyearbiblepodcast.com/give. Special thanks to our monthly donors who consistently and faithfully give to help us in our mission. And once more, that address is oneyearbiblepodcast.com/give. And now, on to REAP. The purpose of REAP is for us to learn and then practice a pattern for getting more out of Scripture as we read and listen through. The way it works, we pick a section of this day's reading, either from the Old Testament, the New Testament, or the Psalms, and then using that passage, we walk through this four-step process. First, we read the passage, and next we examine it. This is where we bring up anything that stands out, anything that catches our attention. After that, we look to apply the passage, connecting it with our lives today. And lastly, we get to pray. Our passage this week comes from our New Testament reading. It's from the Gospel of John, chapter 4, verses 7 through 26. Using this passage, then, we'll read, examine, apply, and pray. Before we get started, let's ask God's blessing on our time. Father in heaven, we thank you that we can have this conversation. Thank you that we can listen to you, that we can hear words from your lips, Father. We're grateful for your presence, we're grateful for your guidance and your instruction, and we look forward to the treasure that you will reveal to us in what you have said. Thank you for this time, and help us to benefit from it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's start in. This is the Gospel of John, chapter 4, starting in verse 7. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink," for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman therefore said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. So where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his children and his livestock?" Jesus answered her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never thirst again. But the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water, springing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, so that I don't get thirsty, neither come all the way here to draw." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband, and come here." The woman answered, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You said well, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and he whom you now have is not your husband. This you have said truly." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship that which you don't know. We worship that which we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour comes, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeks such to be his worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he has come, he will declare to us all things." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one who speaks to you." This is our reading, and now we'll move on to the examine portion of REAP. And again, this is where we bring up anything that stands out, anything that caught our attention in this passage. The first thing that stood out to me in this passage, it's in the first verse we read. Here, Jesus and this Samaritan woman are near a well. And Jesus says something very simple. He says, "Give me a drink." What stood out is that even this short sentence does a lot of things. For one, it starts a conversation. For another, it shows need, that Jesus is thirsty. It's a very practical request. It's a request for help. And it's also a little provoking. It's not a request that this woman can easily ignore. Of all these things that Jesus' statement indicates, we see in verse 9 which one stands out in the Samaritan woman's mind. Her first concern is, how is it that you, a Jew, are talking to me, a Samaritan woman? Jesus responds in verse 10. He says, "If you knew the gift of God, and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." What stands out here is that Jesus is not directly answering her question. Instead, he talks about something that she might want, this living water. In the next verse, verse 11, the woman raises a practical concern. She says, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. So where do you get that living water?" After this practical question, though, the woman's question shifts. In verse 12, she says, "Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself?" So now, this woman is becoming curious. Who is this person I'm talking with? In Jesus' response in verse 13, once again, he talks about something that this woman might want. He says, "Everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never thirst again." It seems that Jesus is raising the bar, we could say. He's offering more hope, more promise, more possibility. At this point, the woman has heard enough. In verse 15, she says, "Sir, give me this water, so that I don't get thirsty, neither come all the way here to draw." What stood out here is that the woman is now showing she really is dissatisfied. She wants more from life. That's why this offer of living water is appealing. The next thing that happens in this conversation is quite surprising, I find. This woman is basically saying to Jesus, "Give me life." And in verse 16, it says, "Jesus said to her, 'Go, call your husband and come here.'" This seems like a complete change of topic. And the woman simply says, "I have no husband." Jesus' response in verses 17 and 18 goes like this. "Jesus said to her, 'You said well, I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and he whom you now have is not your husband. This you have said truly.'" Jesus does two things here. One, he commends her honesty. He admires her straightforward and true speech. And also, he shows that he knows her, that he knows what her life has been like. At this point, I wonder if the woman began to feel uncomfortable, like, who is this person? In verse 19, she says, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet." And then in verse 20, it seems she tries to change topics. In verse 20, she says, "Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship." Maybe the conversation has gotten so personal that she wants to change it to something that people tend to argue over. Should we worship on this mountain, or this place, or that place? What stood out in Jesus' response is that he makes it clear that true worship is not about location. But he says in verse 23, "The hour comes, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeks such to be his worshipers." Continuing on, in verse 25, the woman responds to Jesus this way. She says, "I know that Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ." Reading this, I thought, this is amazing. She knows about the coming Messiah, the Christ. She knows the prophecies of Scripture well enough to have this expectation of a Messiah coming. She even says, "When he has come, he will declare to us all things." I see this as an amazing statement of faith. Then in verse 26, the last verse we read, it says, "Jesus said to her, 'I am he, the one who speaks to you.'" This stood out to me because I couldn't think of another example anywhere in the Gospels where Jesus simply tells someone that he meets who he is. This woman might be the only person outside of Jesus' disciples who hears Jesus say, "I am the Messiah. I am the Christ who has come." Those are the things that stood out to me in this passage, and if I missed something that you noticed, feel free to share that as a comment over at oneyearbiblepodcast.com on the webpage for this day's REAP episode. Now let's move on to the application portion of REAP. And again, this is where we look to connect what we've read with our lives today. One application that stood out here, it's in verse 16, where Jesus asks the woman to go and call her husband. There is a reason that Jesus' direction to the woman may seem strange. We read farther on that the Father is seeking worshipers who will worship him in spirit and truth. Jesus is looking for those worshipers for the Father. This woman seems very ready to become one. She says in verse 15, "Sir, give me this water, this living water, so that I don't get thirsty." If I was in Jesus' shoes in this conversation, I don't think I would have said what he says next, "Go and call your husband."
Why does Jesus do this when this woman seems ready to receive what he is offering? I think part of why Jesus brings up this awkward topic is that he wants to know this woman and for her to know that she is known by him. If the Father is to be worshiped in spirit and truth, the truth of this woman includes the truth of her life experience. Jesus is not brushing that under the rug. He isn't holding this up as a barrier to keep the woman from him. But I understand this question to be getting at Jesus' desire for the woman to come as she really is, in the fullness of herself and of her life. Then she can worship the Father in spirit and truth. Nothing is hidden, and everything in her life is included as she moves toward the Father. An application I see, then, is for us who follow Jesus to try to understand and to know the people around us in our lives. We see that as Jesus came to this woman, he wanted more than just a response from her lips. He sought more from this woman than what we could call the right answers. So perhaps as we share our faith with those around us, we can be interested, as Jesus is, in knowing the people that we talk with, in understanding their story and how all of that can be brought into their worship of God. So getting to know those that we talk with, those that we share our faith with, showing interest and curiosity in them and in their life. That's an application I see here, and if you see another one, feel free to share that also as a comment on the webpage for this day's REAP episode. Now let's move on to the last part of REAP, where we get to pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this conversation that your Son shows us. Lord, as we read this exchange, we can feel the gentle pursuit of Jesus after this woman at the well. We can sense her disappointment with how her life has turned out and her longing for something more. Thank you, Jesus, that when we are in this place ourselves, you come to us and you raise up our eyes, you lift up our hopes, you tell us that there is more, and that you are the Messiah, the Christ. Jesus, it's you yourself who is the something more, the something that we really long for. Even now as we pray, as we've read your word, would you come to us by your Spirit and give us what our souls long for? Help us to be people who worship the Father, not in this or that location, but in spirit and truth. Thank you, Jesus, that you are truth and life itself. Wash us by this word. Help us to gain and to grow from it. Thank you that we could sit and listen to you in your word in this time. We pray for your continued mercy on us throughout today and the rest of this week, and we thank you for all that you are and all that you have come to be for us. There is more, and it is you. May we find out more of that, Jesus. We ask all this in your precious name. Amen. Well, thanks for being with me for this week's episode of REAP. In addition to this recorded version, we also meet as a group and do REAP live. This happens over Zoom every Friday at 12 noon Eastern Standard Time. From 12 o'clock to 12:45, we read, examine, apply, and pray together. If you'd like to join us, you're more than welcome to. The way to get that information is to send me a note through oneyearbiblepodcast.com. That way, I'll have your email address and can send you the Zoom links for those Friday sessions. It's always an encouraging and inspiring time circled around God's Word, and I hope you'll join us on one of these upcoming Fridays. That's all the announcements we have for this week. I hope you have a good Friday and weekend and week upcoming, and I look forward to talking with you soon.